This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Happy Sabbath, people of the kingdom, and welcome again to worship. Welcome to the place and time where we experience God's power and hear God's voice. This weekend, and we are reflecting on love, and we know we need no permission through an holiday to love and to celebrate love, but we take it as an intentional effort to remind us of the importance of love. And so that's how I invite you to celebrate this weekend, an invitation to love intentionally. But also this month we are celebrating Black history. And I want to take both these into consideration as I share God's words this morning. So the question, what's love got to do with it, brings together these two important events, the month and the weekend. I stand here right now with a deep awareness as to who I am as an individual. I am not mistaken as to who God has created me to be and who I am. I exist as a male in a black body. And as a male in a black body in America, I am reaping the benefits of the hard work that many before me have done. Today I am able to experience the liberties and rights that are deserving of any human being because of the work that has been done of those who have gone before me, before us. And so today I want to honor and to celebrate the history and the work of those black folks who have gone on before me and prepared the way that I could stand here today and preach the Word of God. And I will do that by reflecting on black history through the lens of a parable of the kingdom, a very familiar parable of the kingdom. And so I ask myself, as I wrestled with the Word of God, I asked myself, what's love got to do with it? And I'm asking you to consider the question as we today reflect together on God's words, what's love got to do with it? Pray for and with the preacher. Sovereign being, whose love and mercy created and redeem us, we reflect on your words today and on the history of those who bear lives in black body. I ask that this word, God, would do the work that you have prepared it to accomplish. And as for me, I stand with the assurance that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because you have anointed me to preach. And so, as I preach today, feed a sheep through me. In Jesus' name, amen. What's love got to do with it? It is well known by so many people, even those who profess no faith or believe in the Bible. You've heard of Good Samaritans here, there, and everywhere. The message of the story is clear, plain, and simple. But the embodying of that message is where we come into a wrestling, a difficulty, a struggle. And we find in this message, in the introduction to this parable of the kingdom, one who asks a question that he already knows the answer to, suggesting and indicating that the message is clear, but it's embodying the message is where the difficulty lies. The Bible says, an expert, a lawyer, a professor of the law comes to Jesus and asks a very important question. How do I experience eternal life? How do I experience eternal life? In other words, how do I find belonging in God's kingdom? How do I become a person of the kingdom? And Jesus points him to Scripture and asks him, how have you read it? How do you understand it? And since he already knows the answer, he gave it. Love God and love my neighbor. That's the totality. That is the essence. That is the punta finale. That is it. That's where the law finds its fulfillment, in loving God and neighbor as oneself. But given the fact that he has malicious intent, given the fact that he wants to test Jesus, he asks the question, teacher, who is my neighbor? And then we find again that he knows the answer to this question. He knows that in his own Jewish thinking, his neighbor is another Jew. But the Bible says he wants to justify himself. And so he asks Jesus this question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus says, a certain man was walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was pounced upon by robbers who stripped him, beat him, and left him half dead. And Jesus goes on to say that just by chance, a priest was passing by, saw him in the ditch, beaten, battered and bruised, and passed by on the other side. Then came the Levite, saw him beaten, battered and bruised, and passed over on the other side. But then came the Samaritan, who saw him and felt compassion for him, took care of his needs. There is something about the state of the man in the ditch that is evocative of the African-American experience. It reminds me so much of the experience of those who bear lives in black bodies in this country. Notice that the Bible does not describe or say much about this man's social, economic, or religious, or national identity. It's almost impossible because he is without clothing. Anything that would give something about any indication of his identity. He is beaten, battered, and bruised, and left naked in a ditch. Somehow it reminds me of the African American experience. Somehow it reminds me of life for those who bear lives in black bodies. Somehow it reminds me of how blacks have been robbed of their dignity, stripped of their identity, beaten and hung, not half dead, but even times killed by lynching them to a tree. Somehow the experience of the half-dead naked man in the ditch reminds me of the African-American experience. Somehow it reminds me of how Africans were taken from their lands, canned into ships, forcefully shipped to the Americas and enslaved. And it didn't stop there. Somehow it reminds me of how their enslavement was legitimized by acts, legislative acts such as the Fugitive Slave Act, which prevented anyone who would try to free a slave to be charged with a federal crime. Somehow the image of the man beaten, battered and bruised, naked, unidentified in the ditch reminds me of the African-American experience. It reminds me how laws of segregation disenfranchised and discriminated against people who bear lives in black bodies. Somehow it reminded me of Jim Crow segregation laws, who says that we are unequal. Somehow the naked, beaten, battered and bruised man in the ditch reminds me of the African-American experience. Robbed of their dignity, beaten, stripped of their identity. Somehow it reminds me that that is not just an historical fact. It's not just a thing of the past, it is a thing of the present. Somehow it reminds me that the journey to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, reminds me somehow of Trayvon Martin, who was taking a walk in a Florida community. And just because he had a hoodie on and he wasn't in the right color of skin, he was gunned down. Somehow it reminds me of others in this country, Ahmaud Arbery, who was jogging through a white neighborhood, just like the man walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Somehow it reminds me of George Floyd, who had a knee placed in his neck on the American street. Somehow the experience of a naked, beaten, battered and bruised man in the ditch reminds me of the African-American experience. Somehow it reminds me of Breonna Taylor, who in her own home, lying in her own bed, her life was sniffed out. Somehow I'm reminded of the African-American experience as I reflect, as I look on the image of this unidentified naked, beaten, battered and bruised, half dead man in the ditch. Somehow it reminds me how my ancestors or ancestors, people who have fought for equal rights and justice in this country, how they were robbed of their dignity, stripped of their identity, but yet they still fought on. Somehow I am reminded. But as I look and I reflect even deeper on the story, for a moment I had some hope. I had some hope for the man who was down in the ditch. Because just by chance, the Bible said, just by chance, someone else was coming down that dangerous, dusty road. Somehow, by chance, a priest was coming by. Oh, when I saw that a priest was coming by, my heart was filled with hope for the man in the ditch. This is a priest coming by. This means hope. He's half dead, but he won't die because someone is coming to his aid. A priest is coming by. But you know the story. The priests come. He sees the man in the ditch, but he goes to the other side. And I didn't give up hope then, because even after the priest left, I still had some hope. Because here, by chance, comes a Levite. The Levite looks. He sees the beaten, battered, and bruised man in the ditch. But he walks over on the other side. Somehow, hope begins to drain from my mind as I reflect on the parable. The priest comes, he sees, he passes by on the other side. The Levite comes, he looks, he sees, he passes by on the other side. Some might see this as an event in anti-clericalism, where it's an attempt to paint clergy in a bad image. But I just want to give some excuses, as does the parable, for why the priests and the Levite might have passed by. By all indications, the man is dead. The Bible says he looks half dead. But the priests and the Levite, they didn't come close enough to see that he was half dead and not dead. And so in their minds, he was dead. And to prevent them from being ceremonially defiled, they passed by on the other side because they had a greater duty to serve at the temple. And so they left him there, unto, in their minds, the greater duty, serving in the temple. I can empathize with the priest and the Levite. They found themselves in a moral dilemma. There was nothing, while there was something in the law to prevent them from touching a dead corpse, there was something in the law that enabled them to help someone in need. And so they found themselves in a moral dilemma between the laws of purity and the law of love. But the text tells us that they couldn't find themselves enacting the law of love because they didn't come close enough. They looked, they saw, but they passed on the other side. They looked, they saw him in the ditch, but they passed on the other side. The reality is, the priests and the Levite, even though they weren't the ones who robbed, stripped, beat, and left him half dead in the ditch, even though they weren't responsible for the initial violence that was perpetrated on that man, even though they weren't the ones who did that to him, they were culpable simply because they saw and they walked on the other side. They were as responsible for the violence that was perpetrated against that man in the ditch as were those robbers. Where are you going with this preacher? Hear me and hear me well. The moment we, by avoidance and silence, perpetuate violence, we are standing guilty for the initial violence. Those who avoid or stand silent in the face of injustice find themselves culpable for those injustices. If you are silent in the midst of discrimination, in the midst of disenfranchisement, in the midst of disinheritance, you are guilty. We are guilty. I am guilty. If by avoidance or silence, I facilitate the perpetuation of violence. Are you listening to me, people of God? In this country, the time has come and some folk will tell me, preacher, we don't mix religion and politics. Well, that is a newfound idea. When you read your Bible well, you find that there is no dichotomy between social and religious life. To be a Jew was to be a minority. That was a political status. Don't tell me that the church has no place. The church has no voice in the midst of this country when God's people, people who were created in God's own image, people who bear lives in black bodies, when they are facing discrimination, when they are facing disenfranchisement, when they are facing violence against their black bodies, don't tell me that the church should keep silent. The moment the church becomes silent is the moment the church becomes culpable. The church becomes like the robbers who stripped, robbed, and beat and left that man half dead in the ditch. But thank God, that's not my church. Amen. That's not Plantation. That's not the Seventh Adventist Church. That must be some other church somewhere. We don't believe that. We are good Christians. We don't believe that. I'm talking to the choir, so let me brush that aside there. But here we find in the story some signal of hope. Man robbed, beaten, stripped, and left half dead, hoping and somehow by chance someone would come by. But the priests come, sees and passes by on the other side. Then comes the Levite, sees and passes by on the other side. And somehow the rhythm of the story, the flow of the story tells us that if the highest of all didn't do it, the priest, and if the Levite didn't do it, then somehow maybe a Jew, a simple little Jew, a lower class Jew would come and show the higher class Jew how to keep the law of God. How to keep the law of love. But here it is. Here comes the boom. Here comes the shock of the story. It's not the priest. It's not the Levite. It's not the lower class Jew, the normal Jew. It is the outcast. It is the religious heretic. It is the Samaritan who sees. Oh, help me, Jesus. It's the Samaritan who sees. But he didn't walk over on the other side. He was, help me put this thing together, God. He was moved with compassion. He felt compassion for the half-dead, naked, dying man in the ditch. And compassion moved this Samaritan. This Samaritan who, by Jewish standards, was an enemy. This Samaritan, which you know by Jewish standards, is an outcast, an underdog. We are the us, that's them. That's the Samaritan who comes to the aid of a man dying in the ditch. Somehow, hope comes alive, but hope comes from the most unlikeliest place. It comes not from those who teach the law or profess to live by the law. But it comes from those who profess to be heretics of the law, the Samaritan. I don't know, but I was just moved that I read and saw how the Samaritan acted in comparison to the priest and the Levite. The priest came, saw, and walked to the other side. The Levite came, saw, and walked to the other side. But the Samaritan, he came closer, moved by compassion. The Bible said he touched, he bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, putting him on his animal, brought him into an inn, took care of him, told the innkeeper to take care of him, and paid for any extra expenses. That's what happened. He was moved by compassion. The Samaritan, who was to be a heretic of the law, was actually the one who embodied the law of love. But in the same way, the Samaritan faced the same dilemma, the same moral dilemma that the priest and the Levite felt. Because just like the Jew, they observed the laws of Moses. They too had laws of purity and defilement. But they too had laws of loving your neighbor as yourself. And the Samaritan chose the higher road. The Samaritan chose to embody the law of love. Brothers and sisters, beloved ones, those who are the Samaritans of the 21st century, as I reflect on the black experience, are those who are moved by the violence, who are moved to act in response to the violence that is perpetrated against black bodies in this country. The Samaritans are those who organize, those who advocate, and yes, even those who protest. These are the Samaritans. They come to the aid of those who have been robbed of their dignity and stripped of their identity. I just want to remind you of some good Samaritans of the past. There was a good Samaritan by the name of Harriet Tubman, who herself was a slave, was enslaved. But after escaping slavery, she risked her life to free other slaves, other enslaved peoples. She was a good Samaritan. There was also another good Samaritan by the name of Martin Luther King Jr., who led the civil rights movement, which resulted in the Civil Rights Act, which allowed equal rights and justice to begin to become a reality in America. But I want to remind you that yes, there is Harriet Tubman, there is Martin Luther King, and there are many others. But I want to remind you of another Samaritan who, when this world was like a world, like a man beaten, left in a ditch, battered and bruised, this Samaritan over 2,000 years ago came by and he binded our wounds. He poured oil and wine on us. He paid the price for us. Can I tell you that the true good Samaritan is the one called Jesus? I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm so glad that Jesus is a good Samaritan. I'm so glad that Jesus sets the example for us. Jesus, he had no part in our sin. He was not responsible for anything that we did. But he was not culpable. He was in no way culpable for our sins or our condition. But thanks be to God, Jesus, moved by compassion, left Calvary, left heaven and went to Calvary to die for our sins. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that Jesus, he is the good Samaritan. Yes. He is the good Samaritan. And Jesus tells a parable for one reason and one reason only. The lawyer comes and asks Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? How do I become a person of the kingdom? How do I find belonging in God's kingdom? And after telling the parable, Jesus asks the question to the lawyer. Of these three who saw the unidentified, robbed, stripped, beaten, battered, half-dead man in the ditch, which of these three would you say was neighbor to him? The lawyer, he couldn't even utter the word Samaritan. He said, the one who showed mercy. The one who showed him mercy. Beloved, what's love got to do with this? What has love got to do with this? Hear me. Love has everything to do with this. The priest and the Levite who saw and walked by on the other side found themselves in an unloving place. But the Samaritan embodied love, moved by compassion, came over and tended to the needs of the unidentified, robbed, stripped, beaten, left half-dead man in the ditch. What's love got to do with it? Love's got everything to do with it, because love, mercy, because compassion and mercy are the outworkings of God's love. This is how we show love to our neighbors. This is how we show love to God, when we act in ways of compassion and ways of mercy. And so Jesus says to him, after he responded, the one who showed, Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And so what's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with black history? What's love got to do with the African-American experience? Jesus says, I am the Good Samaritan, and I am telling you to be a part of my kingdom, to inherit eternal life, to be a part of the kingdom. You've got to do what I did. You've got to show mercy. You've got to love compassionately. You've got to take care of those on the margins of society. Those who find themselves with their identities stripped, their dignities robbed, the homeless, the hungry, the abused, the trafficked, the drug abuser. What's love got to do with it? It has everything to do with it. And so, like Jesus, I say to us, go and do likewise.
Didn't have to leave the glory of heaven, but you became a simple man. You didn't have to serve the poor and afflicted, but you touched and healed their brokenness. No greater love has been given. You became the ultimate sacrifice, creating me the heart of a servant. Let this be my soul's desire. Show me how to love in the true meaning of the word. Teach me to sacrifice, expecting nothing in return. I want to give my life away, because battered woman with hungry children on the street. And then I heard you say with a still small voice, what have you done for the least of these? Lord, consume me with the burning fire that melts away my complacency. Let me be moved with love and compassion so that someone may find a way in me. Show me how to
Beloved, God has called us to be people of the kingdom. And the ways in which we do that are as Christ modeled for us, to act out of love, to act mercifully and compassionately. And so, may the God who came in Christ to free the oppressed, to set at liberty them who are bruised, may that liberating Jesus grant you peace, blessings, liberty from sin, and all the evils that this world could heap on you. May you find in God's presence the love, compassion, peace, grace, and mercy that we all need. Let the people of God say, Amen. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.